There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. And we'll talk to my buddy Dale Leash in 1 second. I did see this on the text line. Michael, very cool. So Michael went by today at Adventure Earth. I said, went by Adventure Earth today. He was really helpful. Just seemed like a good dude. Clint is good people. I've known Clint Jameson a long time. It means we're both old, but that's okay. But he did give me that heads up that he's got a bunch of bikes that are perfect for mom in. And it's special pricing on e-bikes going through Mother's Day. And don't forget, that's on the 12th. So keep your head on a swivel. And then another one here before we go to it. So Irish Indian. Now, I was talking about last hour, of course, and we'll talk about this more with Dale in less than a minute, about the report that came out on Tuesday and some of the things that I had taken out. I said some things I think are definitely need to be looked at and, you know, questions. And some of them I thought, at least to me, seemed not as important, like the cursing thing. But the one that left me scratching my head was, and like I said it yesterday, and I'm saying it again today, and I really, this is an open question, a real question. I'd like to get somebody on to talk about this. The inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects. Is that because in these six cases that these guys were black, or is it something that's bigger and there's a policy difference or something? So, I mean, I have a real question. Then Irish Indian on the text line says, Sean, as Kenyon Brown, does he have a de-escalation policy when dealing with an Irishman drinking Powers Irish Rye? You know what the policy is there. You know exactly what the policy is. There's a reason those things are called paddy wagons. You know that, Irish Indian. They named them for our people. They just pack you up and send you on. All right, let's go to my man Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. And I appreciate your work over at lanyapmobile.com and Brady and the gang here as this 100-page report hits Tuesday night. That's a lot to read through and report on, so thank you.
Came in after 6. I think Brady and I left right before 10 o'clock, so it was a long day.
Let's talk about your reading of that, and then I'm going to get into what else is around surrounding this. But the report, sure. The report that came out, do you feel that this was kind of something I was getting into earlier? Is this an overall indictment of these six specific cases or the culture in the police department? Because when I heard Kenyon Brown speaking on Tuesday night, he would talk about these problems, but it didn't sound like it. I have not gotten the word correct. I don't know which one I'm looking for. But they weren't criminal acts by the officers in these deaths, right? I mean, he was like, these things are bad, but it's not. I'm not going to have DOJ come in. This was legal's not
correct.
The right word. Yeah.
My understanding. If you read through the report in all but one of the cases, I think the case in front of the school, in front of Excel Academy, is the one exception where excessive force was used when the police officer
grabbed the girl's hair.
Took the girl by the... Yeah. No! See, that's... People misunderstand that. The principal grabbed the hair.
Okay.
I'm not talking about grabbing the hair. The police officer grabbed her by the throat or the neck area and slammed her to the ground face first.
Yeah, I did read that part, yes. Yeah, the face.
That is completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that one probably, unlike the others, where I think all the others, Kenyon's team said, yeah, this wouldn't rise to the level in court of being an issue as far as, you know, it's not outside of a reasonable response to things. However, in all the cases, they could have been handled much better. And I know a lot of people are making light of the cursing and, you know, we all curse on the job. I understand it. I mean, we don't curse on the radio unless you're Rob Holbert.
No, he doesn't either. No.
But other than that, I think, cursing aside, you know, you talked about the de-escalation. That's also true. I think the preconceived notions that these police officers think that they walk into a black neighborhood and everybody's armed or everybody wants to do harm to them is also unacceptable. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't know how you fix that. I know nobody wants to talk about diversity and sensitivity training anymore. That's apparently a bad term to use. In fact, it's illegal, I think, in some parts of the, you know, in some aspects of state government. So I don't know what you do, but clearly when you look at the segment of the population in Mobile, the city of Mobile is majority black. So if you are a police force in a majority black city, probably not the most productive thing to think that, you know, a majority of the citizens are always armed or always looking to do harm to you. So I think that is something that needs to be addressed by leadership in the city and leadership among the police department. That being said, you know, I think the fact that nothing illegal, except for that one case, the fact that nothing illegal, all, you know, happened stands out. But you know, recommendations were to ban pre-dawn raids, which the council tried to do and was pretty much unsuccessful across the board at doing that, if I'm being honest. And then, you know, some of the other recommendations were, you know, sensitivity training, learning how to be more respectful to the citizens they serve, but also, finding better ways to deal with mental health. The city has done that to a certain extent already by bringing an alta point for people that appear to be mentally ill so that they can kind of de-escalate for the police department. Because that was one, the case of the guy that slept was sleeping on the roof. Mm-hmm. You know, the officer in question, I mean, he took his taser out and told him to run. That's taunting. You can't, taunting a mentally ill person is not a good way to de-escalate the situation. So there are steps that could have been taken. And the report states this. There were steps that could have been taken by the officers, by the leadership, to maybe avoid escalating these situations, kind of like what you were talking about. So I think that's what the council's going to have to look at that. I think the mayor's office is going to have to look at that. And whoever the next chief of police is going to have to look at that.
Yeah, what about, I want to get to that. Before we have a new chief of police, I guess we have to have the administrative leave lifted and Chief Prine not to be Chief Prine, right? And the city council seems to have, we tabled that till next week or further?
Yeah. The city council will vote on that next week. They will vote yes to fire him. I'm pretty sure, unless something drastic happens in the last week. I mean, the overall feeling from the majority of councilors is that regardless of what their investigation into the city's actions reveal, right, that the
he's not coming back as police chief. Yeah, I mean, that's not happening. Yeah.
Keeping him on as police chief is not going to happen. So,
correct.
I mean, I guess they're waiting on he's got till noon tomorrow, so less than 24 hours now, to take a settlement agreement, according to the city. He could take that settlement agreement that would ironically, you know, keep him in a position as a consultant working with the department.
Help me with that.
I find that suspect. I got to be honest with you. If the relationship is so untenable that he can't be chief anymore, why are you going to keep him on? I mean,
I had texters saying the same thing today. They're like, okay, if this is that bad, and then you're going to put him in a consulting role, what does this mean? That leaves me scratching my head.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it's a situation where the city wants to, be able to pay him, to the point where he can retire. And he says he's going to be able to retire anyway. So, he knows where he's at better than I do. But I think the idea was the city wanted him to maybe work out his retirement. And they get a little something for it, I imagine.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Paying him to go away.
Okay, because, I mean, you could do, just trying to be fair-minded about this, you could maybe you're doing it out of the goodness of his service in law enforcement, right? I mean, here's a man that was shot in the line of duty. We're talking about Chief Prine.
Served for 26 years.
Yes, 26, somewhere there. At the same time, you do that, but if there is no narrative, and I don't mean narrative meaning it's not true, if there's not a discussion about why this is happening, then it does seem like there's a quid pro quo of some sort, or we're going to pay, pay you to go, just go away and be quiet.
100%.
And I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it, unless you come out and say, no, you know what it is, is this man has served, for all these years, and we believe this is the right thing to do. Well, then get out and say that. Be in front of, the Lanyap offices, getting an interview doing that.
Right. No, I will say that it does seem like that is what's happening here. Like I said, I don't know for sure, but what you said makes a lot of sense because they really haven't described what the consultant role would even do. That's on us too, I guess, in the media for not asking tougher questions about that. But also, Prine on Tuesday after the meeting said he had not been officially offered any settlement. So. Maybe the city was putting the cart a little bit before the horse, or maybe Prine was, playing his cards closer to his vest than he has to this point so far. I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen with that, but my understanding is he's got until noon on Friday to make a decision. And I think the council was really pushing him. I think the council would like nothing more than for Prine to take that settlement, and then they don't have to make the ultimate decision to fire him. But I think that the votes are there to get rid of him if they have to, and I think they will. And then I don't know, other than it being somebody they picked from inside the police department, Simpson has already kind of said that, I don't know who it'll be, but I don't think they're going to, right now, they're not going to go outside the department with a year left in the mayoral term to pick a police chief, because who would leave a job in another jurisdiction to come for a guaranteed year, So I think, or a year and a half. So I think that's part of it too.
I was going to also get into the things I feel like there's the report, and then orbiting, at least in my thoughts, around the report are these other items. And these other items would be a discussion of the Gulf Coast Technology Center, or may not have the term right, and the 321Z peer-reviewed report. I mean, where are we with those things?
Well, and that casts a whole... I understand the doubt that casts among people who have read the report, because, I think there's a thought that, Chief Prine might be a little bit of a scapegoat when it comes to the report and given the fallout between he and the mayor's office. So I get that there, but where are we on that? Gulf Coast Technology Center Commander Levy wrote that report. 321Z Insights, who had been paid $93,000 to do some other consulting with the police department, was given the report written by Levy and said, "Hey, can you basically?" If I say rubber stamp, it kind of puts a negative connotation on it. I don't mean to necessarily do that, but will you look over this report and, make sure it's accurate? They're calling that a peer review or a third party review. I wouldn't use that terminology as a professional writer to describe what happened, but I can kind of see their argument. I disagree with it, but I don't write my opinions. I write what people, mm-hmm. say. So it is what it is. But yeah, they're calling it a peer review. It's, from the very beginning, I think us in the Lanyap office thought that was kind of not right, maybe a little bit shady. So that's where we are on that. That was kind of, and I mean, that we know that there was a lack of communication between the chief's office and Gulf Coast Technology Center. And, there's a reason why all these questions are coming up now. It's not just that we're all, against the mayor's office. They're legitimate questions that they have, I guess, tried to answer, on some of that stuff. But that's where it is. I mean, it's where it was last week.
Now, the next thing is city council, and then we have this internal review coming out of MPD, or they're forming those committees. How are we given a timeline on that they're going to come back and say, okay, here's the things we're going to change, or is that just an ongoing?
I'm not sure what the timeline is on either the council doing anything or the PD internal investigation. I know that they've said that they're going to release MPD is going to release their own report kind of in response to the Brown report. Meanwhile, the council is going to have a committee of the whole on Tuesday to discuss the parameters of an investigation that it's going to do on the claims that Prime made against the city administration. As far as timeline on that goes, I'm not sure, but I would expect some of the council-led police reform efforts to start anew after the report. Maybe not immediately, because they've still got to deal with a new chief. They've got to deal with whatever this investigation that they're going to do into the mayor's office points out. But I highly expect the council will bring back the ban on pre-dawn raids, especially after this report. I mean, that one raid where the 16-year-old was shot at 5:40 in the morning, according to the report, SWAT team wasn't even needed for that, and yet they brought the SWAT team out. So, I think the report in two different occasions says, hey, maybe don't do pre-dawn raids. Maybe don't do raids when children are in the house. It's not a good idea. So, I think the council is definitely going to look at that, because they already tried and were, kind of told to back off a little bit. I think that they're probably going to be emboldened to, pass something a little stronger than they already have. But I think first they're going to take care of the chief question, and we're going to see where their investigation into the mayor's office goes.
Good reporting, and people can read more, of course, online at lanyapmobile.com as long as they sign up. Tell them how to do that.
Yeah, lanyapmobile.com is where you go to sign up to subscribe to our website. You get all of the breaking news, digital copy of the paper, everything that we do is on our website. It's the Nappy Finals. Go vote for your favorite finalist in all of the 300 or so categories that we have now. Subscribers got a week's head start on the preview of who made the finals and how that works. So there are perks to being a subscriber, more than just getting everything we do. There are extras that are involved in that too. So it's $1 a month to start. Highly recommend you do it. It supports a local business, keeps all of our families fed. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you, man, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks. Yep.
There he goes. Bye. Dale Leash from Lanyap, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 128 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Thursday. Or you can always leave us one of those talkback messages as well. You can text us, which thousands of y'all do, which I appreciate. You can also call us, which hundreds of y'all do, at 343-0106. And some of y'all are cool enough to leave a talkback message through the FM Talk 106.5 app. So check that out as well. It's Avid. I was like, am I pronouncing that right? Avid? Avid? On the text line? I saw this and went to it first because... I subscribe to a lot of the wise teachings, and I am serious about this, of one Chris Rock, Chris Rock comedy. The reason some of the stuff is so very funny, because it's so very true. Like his whole rant about you know, his friend saying, well, I take care of my kids. He's like, you're supposed to take care of your kids. I didn't go to jail. You're not supposed to go to jail. Well, he also reminded me of this one. Avett said, a quick review of Chris Rock's How Not to Get Your Butt Kicked by the Police might need to be reviewed by all participants. Yes, Chris, if I could play that, I could, but it would take like 30 minutes of putting the edits in to play it. But there's some brilliance in that, some real brilliance. Right, yeah, a lot more text to get to when we come back here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Thursday. And get a chance, check out, they've extended these deals. Now, I told y'all before, like on boat deals, they didn't have this before where, what, 2 or 3 years of supply chain issues, you really didn't have any need for boat manufacturers to have incentives because they only had so many boats and people were waiting to buy them. Well, that's changed here since things have gotten back to normal. So what's gotten back to normal are incentive deals as well. And at Blue Water right now, these have been extended into this month. Brands like Regulator, Jupiter, Solus, Albemarle, and Bulls Bay inshore boats are all on sale right now. And they also are making deals on Yamaha engines. And remember, if you're doing your own work on your own boat, the parts and service department, Kelsey over there at Blue Water Yacht Sales is fantastic. Yamaha parts, Mercury parts, they can do the work themselves. If you want to bring it in, they've got master techs on staff there to do the work. But if you do your own boat work as well, they get a full line of products for you to get for your engine. And once you give the serial number of your engine to Kelsey, she'll keep it on record. So whenever you need to update, you know, impeller or whatever you're getting, just call over there and she has your part number. So whether you're checking out the brand new boats and taking those deals right now or working on the boat you got, Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, you can see them online at bluewateryachtsales.net. See them in person. That's the most fun. On the Beltline, north of Dolphin, south of Old Shell on the east Beltline of 65, and see them in person at Orange Beach Marina. So check that out, and I think I'm going to go see Forrest pretty soon here. May take some pictures of some of those new boats. That Solus boat is crazy. It's a carbon fiber, fiberglass mixture. It's a heck of a boat, so you want to check it out. All right, let's say hello to Chief Deputy Mobile Police Department Andrew Peek joining us, also a member of the Lions Club. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Mobile County Sheriff's Office.
Mobile County Sheriff's Office. I've been talking about PD for so long. I didn't. Yes. So
yeah, just want to clarify. No
yes,
doubt.
Deputy Peek. I want to ask a couple things here as we get started. This run, and y'all've got the double tunnel vision run.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
It seems like this has been, there's been some sort of tunnel run in our city for quite a while, right? How long has there been? I know this one is, but there have been different tunnel runs going on, right?
I'm not aware of another tunnel run. The Lions Club has been doing it for quite a few years.
Okay,
now.
So y'all, what is it? How many years?
At least 10.
Okay,
I joined the club.
Okay, so 10 years of this, because I know you and I have talked about it before. I've talked about it with other people from Lions Club, and I knew it was around for a while. I didn't know if it was the whole time it was the Lions Club. This is something that's kind of special when you have tunnels in town. You couldn't do this in Montgomery.
No, so, not a bit. Makes it unique for Mobile.
Yeah. So what's entailed in a tunnel run other than running through the tunnel?
So we're running through it twice, and it's quite a hill. Most of the running around here is on flat ground and stuff.
Right.
So,
and we'll get you closer to that mic too. There you go.
So we run through the tunnel twice, and it's quite a challenge because you're running uphill different times.
Okay. You got to think about that, y'all, because the tunnel has to be deep enough to go under what the channel's 31 feet, and then you have to have dirt on top of that, and then the tunnel. So
it's much steeper than you think. When you get to the bottom of it and you look up, it's quite a climb.
I've ridden through it many times, but I've never run through it. So that's the double tunnel run. So your elevation's at least probably 50 feet and change there.
At least, yeah.
Okay, so you go through twice. You go through it once and turn around and come back, or how's this? Where's the track? Or the on this race?
So the race begins on Canal Street, close to the ice box, and Broad Street where the new traffic circle is. So that's where we begin, and we'll begin there in typical Mobile fashion with a cannon blast.
Good.
So the race begins with that. We wiggle through downtown Mobile, end up on Government Street, and then you head into the tunnel. You come out the other side of the tunnel, and you circle around near Austell, and then you come back through.
Okay.
And then you run straight down Government Street, and we end at Oyster City Brewery.
Oh, that seems convenient. Was there any kind of after race?
There will be a good party at the end of it. Yeah, we'll have plenty of beer. There'll be Chick-fil-A biscuits. Greer's is providing an in-kind contribution with fruit. If you'd rather have some fruit instead of beer and biscuits after your run, we'll have a...
But you get to hear, seeing after you run, this is the beauty of runs like this, that you get to have beer and biscuits without any guilt because you just burned enough calories. You can have some beer and biscuits.
You burned it off both ways going up that hill.
Yeah. So this is good. So the race, once again, starts at what time?
8 a.m. is the Cannon Blast.
Okay.
And
it is a Mobile thing. So on May 4th, Cannon Blast and then beer to end it. Cannon Blast start and beer to end it. Let's talk about Lions Club and what y'all do.
So Lions Club, it's an acronym, stands for Liberty, Intelligence, and Our Nation's Safety. Our motto is
We serve. I never knew that, Andrew. I really didn't. I always thought it was about lions are a proud animal or something like that. So it's an acronym.
It's an acronym. Liberty, Intelligence, and Our Nation's Safety.
Yep. Okay. And y'all learned something like me. Did y'all just learn something? Because I did. I did. Okay. So now I'm going to use that. So that's the acronym. And what do y'all do with that?
So our motto is We Serve. We were founded in 1922, so we're 102 years old. We're the second oldest club in Alabama. We are the largest. We've gone back and forth in Montgomery several times being the largest club, but I believe we're still the largest at this point. Our main mission is to serve those in Mobile with vision care needs, and we do that in multiple ways. We have referral partners that those in need can go to those partners and find out if they qualify for vision services, and then we fund them to get the eye care needs they have. Other things we do is we collect glasses. You may have seen our glasses boxes around town. You can drop off your old glasses. We repurpose those, and we ship those around internationally. So those go all over the world to people who can't afford eyeglasses, don't have eyeglasses.
And something that is, you know, that's what's amazing, because I want to talk about what y'all do here at home, but internationally, Lions Club International with that, things we take for granted right here. I mean, you need some glasses. I mean, now you can get some glasses. It's going to cost you a ton. But if you need a set of readers, you can get those things. You know, just go down go to the drugstore and get some readers. There's places in the world that's not a thing you can do.
It's not the case. You're right. It's hard to get glasses in most places, probably.
Yeah, and so we're lucky here. And then what y'all are doing for folks here locally, who would be in the orbit of who would need your services? Somebody who's like losing it because of medical condition, or somebody who loses it, you know, just with age, or like who do y'all provide?
Any of those services, whether they have a pre-existing medical condition, or they're young and that we test their vision at one of our eye clinics. So we go to the Boys and Girls Club several times a year and we take vision screening tools and we test the vision right there on site, and we can give them a piece of paper they can take to their parents and use that as a voucher to take to the referral partners, and then they can help them get glasses so that they can read, because we all know that reading is part of education.
Yeah, you got to do. Have y'all had those situations where a kid that doesn't know they have? I mean, because if you'd always had it, you wouldn't know it could be any better. And you sit this kid down in the chair, and next thing you know, you're like, "Yeah, you have."
You need glasses. A lot of them have never been tested, never had the opportunity to test, so we afford them that opportunity. So all the proceeds from this race, they stay local here.
Good.
Every bit of it stays right here in Mobile to help those in need here.
All right. Once again, this is coming up on May 4th. This is, get it right here, the Lions Club of Mobile Double Tunnel Vision Run with beer to follow. And to sign up for the race for May 4th, is it something you have to do beforehand? Can you do the day before? How do we do this?
Sign up all the way to the day before. You can sign up online at linesclubofmobile.org.
Okay.
You can walk into McCoy's Outdoors and sign up. You can walk into Fleet Feet. You can also go to Run and Try. Those are all places you can register. But if you want to do it online, which is the easiest, you go to linesclubofmobile.org and find the link for this race, and you can register online. It's $35. It comes with a T-shirt, $35 for an adult, $25 for those 12 and under.
Okay.
Both come with a shirt. Make sure you register early to be guaranteed a shirt.
Okay. So I'm going to do what you're probably not used to in these interviews as well. Let's talk about Lions Club. You want people to participate in this, and we're going to put these links up. But if they want to help out what y'all are doing year-round, maybe they can't make this race or whatever, or they want to get involved, kind of what – what's, I mean, are there ways to outreach? Somebody goes, you know, listen to what Andrew was saying. I want to help out, but I'm not going to be there for the race. Can they still help out?
Absolutely. We love membership. We love community involvement from all the businesses that are in Mobile. We're trying to grow our membership so that we can maintain staying the largest in Mobile.
See, there's a little competitive here. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And you can, if you need to get in touch with us, go to our website. There's ways there that you can communicate with us. You can go to our Facebook page and send us messages. And we'll
so people don't have to be, they could come to you and say, hey, I'm interested in being a Lions Club member.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that they go to the website there and they can say, or show up to a, does it direct them to go to a meeting or something like that?
We meet once a week.
Okay.
In downtown Mobile. We can provide those specifics for those that are interested in joining the club. We meet weekly. We have a guest speaker come and talk about all the different hot topics in Mobile to keep everybody involved and engaged and network together. I use it as a networking event once
a week.
So I was
about to say, it's also probably good for networking as much as it is for the, you know, great work you're doing for the community.
It's a great club. I've been in for over 12 years. I was club president 2 years ago. I've enjoyed it, and it's done great things for me, and I've get enjoyment out of it, helping those who need vision care.
Good stuff. See, now, instead of just finding out that there's a race coming up May 4th, now we found out the why, and that's what I like. Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir.
All right, Andrew Peek from the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, our guest, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Top 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. I guess we can do our programming note stuff, right? Is this where you? So tomorrow, I think Derek and others from the text line, if you're listening, get excited. April Marie Fogle filling in for me tomorrow on Midday Mobile. So there you go. April Marie Fan Club. She's coming to you tomorrow starting at noon for Midday Mobile. Settle down already. Already people on the text line. There you go. Good. Oh, thank you. And this person's giving me a Wawa. Oh, it's Jeff in Spanish Fort. Gave me a Wawa update. He said the tents are gone. It seems to have calmed down. The fervor around this happens. I'm happy when we get new things around here. I'm very happy. All I say is just be cool. Act like you've seen something before. You know, act like we've had something new before. It was like the Bucky's hysteria, the public's hysteria. It's the new Wawa hysteria that's going on out there. Right. This is a story I want to visit more next week. Pretty interesting. It's the non-compete agreements. Did you see this? The Federal Trade Commission has now banned non-compete agreements, and Labor Department expanded the rule on when employees are owed overtime. And I think the overtime portion has made a lot of the news today, but maybe it's more because I went through a non-compete when I came to start this station. I left another radio station here in town and served a non-compete, which is tough, you know, it's real tough. Had a young family. And I was, you know, told you can't do the thing that you do for a living. You know, thank goodness I could go do other things. But I worked during that time, but not making what I would make at my normal job. But yeah, so the FTC has now banned non-compete agreements. Now, this is, see, 3-2. FTC voted 3-2 on Tuesday to ban non-compete agreements, which prevent workers from taking positions with competitors for a period of time after they leave a job. Says why this matters. The ban could be a win for workers, particularly at the low end of the income scale. Also say it not just the low end of it. It was a thing, and this is just self-serving, but in my business, working in radio all these years, it was a thing that was a deal I signed. So, I mean, I believe in free market. If I signed a thing and agreed to it, then I agreed to it. So I had to live up to it. But it was a tough thing because, you know, you'd start doing good in the radio world and maybe you get an offer from somebody across the street, but you couldn't take the offer because that other company didn't have the money to pay you to not work for a year or 6 months. And I know you can beat these sometimes, but it often costs more money than you would to do these than it would cost just to sit at the house or do some other job for 6 months. But it had a chilling effect. You could leave in the radio business and move to another market, but you didn't have, you hadn't built the capital, right, and doing what you do in that other market. You had to go in there fresh. On the flip side, I understand the owners of the companies in broadcast that have given you a place to do your show, build your brand, and then you're going to just up and leave? So I get both sides. But back to the story, it said the ban could be a win for workers, particularly at the low end of the income scale. Critics of these agreements say they stifle innovation and wage growth by restricting workers' ability to take new jobs that pay higher wages or offer some other opportunity. They also make it tougher for employers to hire strong talent, lessening competition. Some states have laws limiting non-competes to higher income folks or banning them altogether, but most don't. The FTC, here's a quote here. The FTC estimates that the final rule will lead to new business formation growing by 2.7% a year, resulting in more than 8,500 additional new businesses created each year. I don't know how they do that projection there, but I guess what there's more lead to more competition or opportunities for competition, new businesses come in. The FTC estimates $524 in extra annual earnings for the average worker and $194 less in healthcare cost. It's going to be interesting, the healthcare side. Also expects the rule to result in an average increase of 17,000 to 29,000 more patents each year for the next 10 years. But, I mean, there's an argument. Like I said, I have been on the other side, had to serve out a non-compete. But if you're at a company, maybe that's what they're saying with the patents. If you've been working at the company and they give you a place to work and the equipment to work with and all this, and you come up with, you know, using the resources of the company, using that place to be, the access to the thing, and you come up with something novel, does the company have any say-so that they have any part of that action, right? The old, what's the story, the guy that created the Post-it notes. I don't know if it's urban legend or true, but like the guy that created Post-it notes for 3M, what he received for his work was like a retirement, you know, you get a gold watch or something for retirement and a little bit of money. The company's made all this money off of it. Would it be that if he realized he discovered Post-it notes, should he then quietly leave that company and go to the company across the street and start selling these sticky note things? Chamber of Commerce opposes the ban. I don't think there's any surprise there. Said it's ready and willing to fight this in a lawsuit against the FTC. Says one in five workers is affected by non-competes, according to the FTC. FTC said non-competes were once used mainly to keep high-paid executives from jumping ship to rivals and taking insider knowledge with them. But they've now been more common, even with low-wage workers and doctors subject to these restrictions. Said Minnesota recently became the first state in over 100 years to ban non-competes. A bill in New York State was vetoed by the governor. So with the FTC saying this, I don't know, is this just if you take a federal contract, or is this going to be go to the state level? But yeah, there it is. So I thought that was interesting. Your thoughts on that non-competes? Do you work in a you have a non-compete contract out there? Do you think it's a fair thing? Like I'm not hollering about what happened to me because I signed it with eyes open. I mean, you agree to something, you have to live up to the contract. I don't wait for the government to bail me out of something that I agreed to. But is this they're saying, the FTC is saying it's going to grow business and grow incomes and all that. Is it also, I would think, they're saying it grows the number of businesses, maybe, but is it a disincentive for companies to put in the resources to their employees, right? Tony says Alabama is a right-to-work state. A non-compete in the state of Alabama is relatively toothless. Okay, so here's what happens, Tony. You may know it as well, but when I looked at this when I was had my non-compete, I had my attorney say, yeah, we could go after this and beat this. He said, but here's probably what's going to cost. Here's how much time is going to be involved in this. And if mine would have been for a year, it'd have been a different story. Mine was 6 months, Tony. He said, you can make a decision here. He said, we could go after it and get this, you know, and beat this. He said, but by the time we do that, he said, the 6 months are going to be up. You know, and you're going to be out of that money. Can you do something else, you know, for a living? And I said, yeah. You know, which I took several jobs during that period of time and worked out the non-compete. But they're toothless, you say that, but the fact that you have to go to court and spend money on attorneys and all that, that, Tony, is there's some teeth in that, right? Even if you can win the case, there's some teeth in the oh, crap, I got to do this and go through all this stuff, then, you know, yeah, you might win here, but who wants to who has time? Ain't nobody got time for that, right? Doesn't have Meta said, I'm a free agent now and looking for the highest bidder. But what part of, like, and I get it, it helps drive wages, but can you take, is there anything the company does that puts you in a position to make contacts, learn things, create brands that you should be hamstrung from being able to just walk out the door with? This texture says, will companies revert to NDA contracts with their employees? I don't know. I mean, this is just something new this week with the FTC saying it. And like a story says here from Axios, that Chamber of Commerce is like already suing on this. So, yeah, Chamber of Commerce opposes the ban, says it's already willing and ready to file a lawsuit. So we'll see where that goes. I just thought it was an interesting tidbit here. All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. Like I said, tomorrow. You know who you are on the text line. You'll be very excited. April Marie Fogel filling in. I'll be back with you on Monday and back in Saturday for the Outdoor Show.